This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with the fantastic Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board. It is 6 now, past the hour of 1 o'clock. Welcome into hour number 2 on the big broadcast. Appreciate Reed Galen, president of the union, co-founder of the Lincoln Project, and host of the Homefront podcast, joining us last half hour. You can find Reed on Blue Skies Now. Says he's peacing out on the Twitter, also on other platforms as well as REEDGALEN, Reed Galen. Also, the union, jointheunion.us, jointheunion.us, and be a part of that great organization, pro-democracy organization as well. It is a great day to be Wisconsinite on Monday, November 18th, 2024. Rain falling here on State Street in downtown Madison. Make sure you have the lights on. Mr. Zommer is looking for perhaps some snowflakes. Going to get cold. Highs only in the 30s by the end of the week and into the weekend.
Yeah, and I've heard from somebody around the office saying that on either Thursday morning or Thursday night, I don't remember which, it's supposed to snow a bit and then probably won't make it, you know, into the evening.
Have a holly jolly Christmas. No, it's too early. It's too early. Gotta get through Thanksgiving.
A few people have said, Aaron, why did you play Christmas music already? I was careful not to do ones that mention Christmas. They were about the cold weather. Snow themed songs. It just so happens that they're exclusively used in the holiday season.
Exactly right. Gonna talk a little bit more this hour about the postmortem, and I'm talking about the election. Not to drag it out or make people feel bad about it, but I think it's just cathartic, to use a word. Makes you feel better to get it out of your system and to try to really less on the emotional side, more on the fact-based side. Looking at the data and numbers to, as Reed said, I love that what he said, by the way, what Reed Galen said. You know, kind of what is a revolutionary? What is a resistance, you know? As he said, that has different connotations in this world these days. I liked what he said. It's just time to get to work. Just get to work.
And if you want to listen to what he said, you can go to civicmedia.us and look at shows and find the podcast of the first hour.
There you go. Thank you very much, Mr. Zommers. We appreciate that. My former boss, Dale Schultz, was, you know, back in the day, we would kind of roll our eyes when he said it to us. But the older you get, the more you realize a lot of that stuff is true. He'd say, I want to see your work product. What have you gotten done? I heard that a lot. And it's so true. And I think you can put this in the context of those of us who don't agree or don't like the outcome of the election now, 12 days ago. Let's just get to work. And part of doing that work is to listening to one another and not categorizing ourselves, the voters. I'm not talking about giving up principles like, in my opinion, what Mika and Joe did on Morning Joe, as they announced this morning, which is going down and having a face-to-face with Donald Trump and basically, I guess, saying, how can we work together? Everything that I said on the show prior to the election, I thought that Trump was a threat to democracy. I believe that he is an authoritarian. I believe it's dangerous to the country to have Trump in there a second term. I believe all those things. I hope that I'm wrong. I hope they don't come true. I hope that I'm proven wrong. But again, when Zommers and I were talking about this morning, I'll stand corrected if I slipped up and said this. I don't think during the campaign I ever went after Trump voters. You know, I said repeatedly, you know, I'm not talking about the folks that your local sheriff candidate or your register of deeds. I'm talking about Trump and Trump world, the elected officials, the party chairs, the people who know better and still support this. And so I think I agree with Kenneth from Stoughton listening on WMDX. Kenneth writes in on the text line, I agree with your guest, Reed Galen. The Republicans have stayed on message since Ronald Reagan that the enemy is a Democrat. I have friends who have stated, quote, why would you ever vote for a Democrat, unquote. Never mind that the person might have good ideas. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Peggy, been a while since we heard from Peggy from Brooklyn. Always appreciate your listenership, Peggy. What do you say?
Well, I hate to say this, but twice, not once, but twice, the Dems have not listened to their people. They override the people, pick who they want for a candidate. They did it with Hillary. They did it with Harris. And I had multiple conservatives say to me, it's not that they disliked them, but they didn't like the way they handled it for either one of them. Mm-hmm. And it's happened twice now. They need to get their act together.
Yeah, I appreciate your call. But would you agree or disagree? I think the Hillary situation versus Harris was slightly different in that it was found out later that the Democrats at the time had all these things called superdelegates, and like the upper echelon elitists of the Democratic Party kind of pushed Hillary aside, so to speak. And also, I shouldn't say pushed her aside, but Bernie actually had a lot more grassroots support. And so they pushed Hillary in 08 and then in 16, yes. And particularly in 16.
Yes, totally agree.
But that's different, I think, in 16 than what happened here, where, you know, Harris, I think, did as good a job as she could do with what she was given. It was Biden's decision to step aside.
But we knew before we got that far. We knew Biden is excellent, but we knew he was too old, and we did not fix that. And we got to be able to groom some people up as a backup position. And we knew he was too old 2 years before he ran. It's ridiculous. And they do it over and over and over again.
I don't disagree with that, but I think that, in my opinion, that's more of the Democratic leadership or whatever you want to say fault, more so than Harris. I mean, I don't think that she had a lot to do with that decision.
Yes, I totally agree with you.
So, great call, Peggy. Really appreciate it. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. And again, I want to say, because I think this is really important, I personally don't believe that there is, you know, one reason that Donald Trump won again and that Vice President Harris lost. I just am not of the belief that you can point to it and say, well, this happened. I think there are a lot of different things. I think what Peggy brought up there is certainly one of them. But it's been 12 days since we learned the presidential. Can you believe that? It's 12 days already.
Yeah, I can believe it.
It seems like a lifetime. Yeah, exactly. So now that the fog is cleared, although there's some fog, I think, in low-lying areas across Wisconsin, but a bit of the political fog is cleared. Thought we'd take a few minutes just to pause and reflect, as my great teacher Andy Spies is fond of saying, pause and reflect and review what the heck happened. So first, the outcome here. In the Electoral College, Donald Trump won 58% of the votes, and Vice President Harris won 42% of the votes. Trump won 6 more votes than he did in 2016 and 6 more votes than Biden won in 2020. The popular vote, it is close and getting closer. Trump won a smidge less than 50% of the vote on the popular vote. And Harris won 48.2%. So Donald Trump received 2.6 million more votes than Vice President Harris. The last time a Republican won the popular vote was George W. Bush in 2004. So people are going to get nuanced about this. You say, well, Trump won the majority of the popular vote. Actually, he didn't. He won the percentage, he won less than 50%, but he won the majority of the overall popular vote. In the Senate, Democrats had a very slim majority, but now Republicans have a three-seat majority. In the House, Republicans have held on to their slim majority. Vice President Harris was not necessarily undone directly by racism or sexism. And, you know, there's a lot of people that just don't buy that election, that argument. Third parties didn't, quote unquote, spoil the race, although they might have contributed to it. Higher turnout would not necessarily have helped the vice president. So what did happen? Well, the Democratic polling group Blueprint surveyed voters on reasons why they did not choose Kamala Harris. The top reason was inflation and the bigger economic picture, anxiety about falling behind financially, fear that the American dream was falling from reach. The second and third reasons were too many immigrants illegally crossing the border and too much focus on cultural issues rather than helping the middle class. The Trump campaign promised better economic times and tapped voter anger with the promise of upheaval in how the country is run, including mass deportations, America first isolationism, and a strong man government. The Trump campaign successfully defined Vice President Harris as Democrats as, quote, out of touch with middle America and the cost of living crisis and the culture, unquote. In 2024, abortion turned out to be a much more insignificant factor for voters than first thought. Not the defining issue, just 2 years ago in the 2020 midterm elections. Demographically, Vice President Harris actually won a larger share of white votes than every Democratic presidential candidate since 2008. But she lost because the gains with whites in 2024 were more than offset by losses amongst non-white voters, both men and women alike. So here is a sentence that is shocking but true. Democrats lost because everyone except for white voters moved in the direction of Donald Trump this cycle. I mean, think about that. If I would have told you that before the election, you would have said I was nuts. But Democrats lost because everyone except for white voters moved in the direction of Donald Trump this cycle. Is that a new cycle? We'll tell you when we come back. Take your phone calls as well. 855-752-4842 is Todd Allbull's show on Civic Media.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back to the Todd Allbull Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 21 past the hour of 1 o'clock on Monday, November 18th. Glad to have you along. Postmortem, kind of looking back, not so much emotional, but facts and figures. What do the numbers tell us about this election? Want to finish this up? Lots of phone calls to get to. As our friend Matt Flynn likes to say, do not hang up. We see you on the lines. Go to the phones in just a minute. Right before the break, a sentence that was shocking, but true. Democrats lost because everyone, talking about nationally, because everyone except for white voters moved in the direction of Donald Trump this cycle. And is that a new trend? No, it is not. Democrats have been losing non-white voters in every midterm and general election since 2010. While Democrats have been talking about winning back white working class voters, they have lost support among their traditionally more multi-ethnic base. So looking ahead, if Democratic candidates want to win future elections, voters will need to perceive them as caring more about the working class families of every race than caring about marginalized groups. You just can't take people for granted. I don't care if it was Black community, Latino community. And again, by the way, it's Latino and Latina. Quit trying to force white elitist language onto people. Latinx is not a thing. Your messaging is part of the issue as well. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Let's go to Carolyn in Monroe, listening on WMDX. Carolyn, thanks for holding. Let's see.
Hi. Yeah, I agree. Every time either Harris or Wall said middle class, I wish they said working class. Mm-hmm. Unions built the middle class. We've been low on unions. And so the middle class goes along with the lack of unions.
Yeah. I mean, our friend Rick Smith, the Rick Smith Show, can be heard every evening here on Civic Media. He talks about this all the time. The language should be working people. Working people.
Yep. Working people.
Right? and that cuts, by the way, that cuts through racial economic barriers.
Everything, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
appreciate the call, Carol. And hang in there. Thanks so much. Appreciate you being a listener. 855-752-4842. Let's go quickly to David in Mequon. David, thanks for calling. We'll see you.
Thank you for taking my call. And I told your call screener, if you read the Washington Post, this is the biggest swing in the Catholic vote since exit polling since 1972, I guess, since they've done this. Mm-hmm. Biden won the Catholic vote the last election by 2%.
And he's Trump, Catholic.
This election, he won it by 18%. So he had a 20% gain. Mm-hmm. A lot of people forget, this is, I'm just telling you from perspective, obviously, I've told you before that I'm Jewish, but I did not help when Harris, she skipped out on the Al Smith dinner, which a lot of Catholics took as a huge snub. She also was pushing against Catholic hospitals where they would have to perform abortions. And you know, she just kept doubling down on that. And when you keep doing that, and a lot of Hispanics are actually more conservative than people realize.
They're socially,
a religious group of people. Yeah, socially. Mm-hmm. And so when you mock the biggest voting bloc religiously, the Catholics in the United States, that's ultimately what was her huge downfall. Yes, there's inflation. Mm-hmm. Yes, there's other stuff. But ultimately, when you kick somebody in the mouth enough, you know, when you have that large a swing, that is a direct result of her way of thinking is to, this is how I'm going to win.
I appreciate the call, David. And again, I think it's one of the things. Again, I'm not of the belief that it was just one thing. But I think you raise a great point, and I think it was one of the things. 855-752-4842. Let's go to Joe listening here in Madison on WMDX. Joe, always a pleasure. What say you?
It's interesting to sort of decipher what may be happening. I think for me, part of what's happening is that, I mean, it really has come a time where facts just don't matter, and that there is this cult-like attitude toward Trump where he seems to be the guy that's going to be my tribe and I'll be protected, or he will bite down on the people that I want him to bite down on. But facts have really gone. Facts are really out of the picture. So I think it really, I don't know if it pertains just to having Trump running. If it were Vance running and he were saying some of the sorts of things that Trump has said, would it be okay? But I bring it up in part because I was looking at the Milwaukee Journal online, I was looking at the Hubdy comments, and the headline said on Milwaukee Journal, which is not a liberal paper, said it said that Hubdy concedes to Baldwin, comma, repeats false claims. And then on the same side, saying, you know, above the fold of the electronic version, if you will, there was a little blurb. It was for an article that has since been taken out. Dairy farmers hit hard if Trump deportation goes ahead. Well, it's going ahead. He said that on day one, he's going to be having the military come forth. So the facts are there. People don't want to look at them. Inflation is down. People don't want to look at it. You know, gas prices came down. People don't want to look at it. The economy is surging in many measurable ways and in ways that are tough, like housing being affordable. Harris offered a plan that, you know, the $50,000 for starting a new business in tax credit, $25,000 in for buying a home in a tax credit. Man, I would have loved to have credits like that. I just thought that was an incredible gift. And those are facts. They don't matter. So it's a peculiar time of really the facts don't matter. The facts of Jill Scarborough saying that Trump is next to Hitler and now he's going down to have cocktails with him. I mean, come on.
Totally
facts
agree.
Don't matter. But so how do you combat that?
I'll answer that after the break. But really quickly before we let you go, I've got about 30 seconds here. I mean, I'm of the belief that, and I'm not trying to wish any ill will, but I to your point, Joe, I think some people are just going to have to have some of these terrible things happen until they finally say, oh, wait, I guess I was wrong. I don't know how you get through to them without having them live through the hard experience.
I don't know either. Yeah, I don't know. And it might be the point of having a psychologist on to talk about this because you know, people, for example, in marriages will hang on, and then suddenly realize, why did I believe this guy's lies? You know, that sort of thing. Anyway, thanks a lot.
Yep, appreciate it, Joe. Thank you so much. Yep, always appreciate you. More phone calls after this, 855-752-4842. It's the All Ball Show right here on a Monday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Glad to have you along with us. Zommer's on the board. Taking your phone calls, then give me the high sign, just like the Little Rascals. You ever heard of that show, Zommers, the Little Rascals?
I mean, a movie show, I don't know.
It used to be on TV. It was on TV before my time, and then when I was a kid, they'd show it like on TBS or Turner or whatever.
Right.
And Little Rascals, and you had, Spanky and Alfalfa.
Yep, the Alfalfa hair is iconic.
And they give each other the high sign. It was one of these things. They put their hand up to their chin and wiggled their fingers. That was the high sign. So he'll give me the high sign. When you call in, Zommers will give me the high sign. That's how I know.
I guess I'll have to start doing that.
We'll go to the phone lines. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Clean up a couple of things. Was doing that piece looking back factually on the election. And Andrew in Maine, God love him, Help me out when I the word was in the tip of my tongue and I couldn't say it. The word I was looking for is plurality. Plurality. So we were talking about earlier that demographically, Vice President Harris, let me see let me get those actual numbers here where I was trying to get to that. Here we go. So on the popular vote, Donald Trump won a smidge less than 50% and Harris won 48.2%. So Donald Trump received 2.6 million votes more than Vice President Harris. And so the Trump won a plurality of the vote and not a majority. He still won the most votes in terms of a popular vote. But thank you. Appreciate that, Andrew. The word I was looking for was plurality. I'll take plurality, Alex, for 500. Also, and Joe touched on this a little bit in our last call, just to keep you up to speed here, according to Channel 3000 here in Madison, CBS affiliate, Republican candidate for U.S. Senate Eric Hovde conceded the race for Senate in Wisconsin to Democrat Senator Tammy Baldwin today, nearly 2 weeks after the election. In a message to his supporters posted on X, formerly Twitter, Hovde said, quote, a request for a recount would serve no purpose, unquote. He also repeated his previous complaints that have been unfounded about absentee ballots in Milwaukee County and called the legitimacy of some ballots into question. Again, that has proven to be untrue. He went on to say that I am proud that we received 1.64 million votes, more than any Republican in Wisconsin history, aside from President Trump's total on Tuesday night, unquote. According to unofficial results, it shows that Hovde garnered just over 1.64 million votes, just shy of Tammy Baldwin's 1.67 million votes. So again, Eric Hovde technically conceding, and more importantly, well, I should say more importantly, as importantly, this is a big sigh of relief for county clerks. Because if you've never gone through a recount, I've been a part of one representing a candidate, it is a huge chore, a huge undertaking, and very costly. So I appreciate Eric Hovde conceding the election and saying that he lost and not going to force a recount that would most likely, well, not most likely, would not show a difference in the election. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. If you want to weigh in as we go through a little bit of this postmortem, go down to Stoughton here in Dane County. CJ listening on a rainy afternoon. And CJ, is it raining down there in Stoughton?
Actually, I'm in Middleton.
Oh, you're in Middleton. Yeah, all right. Very good. All right. Sounds good. Yeah. Sprinkling right now. All right, CJ, thanks for listening. Thanks for calling in. What do you have?
Thanks for taking my call, Todd. I really appreciate it, especially since you consider yourself a former Republican. I guess I'm shocked because to listen to your previous guest, he says the Republican Party has left, but I think it was proved that the Democrat Party has left their voters, their candidates, and what they stand for. They won't even accept a Kennedy to run in the primary.
Well, his own family, but CJ, wait, his own family is not even accepting him. His own family disavowed RFK Jr. So I think we need to start there. I always appreciate your perspective. Not going to diss on you. Your perspective is whatever you feel, right? But I think what Reed Galen, our guest, I'm in political mode. Everybody's a candidate. Reed Galen, our guest last half hour, you know, he helped run George W. Bush's races. His dad helped run George H.W. Bush's races. He knows more than either one of us about Republican mainstream politics. And what he's saying people like that, you know, people who are involved in what used to be considered mainstream politics, they've already been shunned by Trump and the Trump world. And things that they believed in have also been shunned by Trump and Trump world. So that what used to be known as the tenets of the Republican Party are simply dead. On the Democratic side, you have, you know, Vice President Harris, who is still running on many of the traditional things that you would have seen Bill Clinton run on, that Barack Obama ran on, that Joe Biden ran on. So it's not that. Yes, I mean, there's different takes on it, but if you just look at the fundamental tenets, I think that's what he's talking about.
Well, you had a previous caller who listed things that are going well, but she forgot to list the world's on fire. No country was invaded. The disgraceful Afghanistan didn't happen, and people are still living the inflation. You know, and journalism is truly dead, Todd. It's sad to watch. And, you know, we found out, you know, things like I get it why Trump is mad, because some of our own faithful institutions spied on him and lied about him. And people like Paul Ryan, who I actually door hung for, can't believe that crap. So he's got good reason. Trump has good reason to be upset that they've ruined our most precious institutions, and he has a right to question it because we've watched it happen to him. He's lived it, and the American people saw it with these crimes that supposedly committed, but they looked the other way when Hillary you know, got rid of 30,000 emails.
All right. I appreciate the perspective, CJ. Want to give you your take. Obviously disagree. I should say obviously, but disagree with it. Again, this narrative, I'm not going to sit here and rehash the election, but the narrative that somehow the world was completely at peace when Donald Trump was president is just factually not true. I mean, ask the hundreds or at least over 100 military personnel that came back with major head injuries due to the attack on their base in the Middle East when Trump was president, and he pawned it off as quote unquote headaches and didn't want to support our military personnel and the veterans. That's just factual. You know, you can't make that up. But appreciate the call. 855-752-4842. Let's go to Mark in Prairie du Sac. Mark, always a pleasure. What's the...
You had to play CJ first.
Sorry, Bob. Well,
he ever read the withdrawal agreement from Afghanistan that Donald Trump signed with the Taliban? He abandoned our allies in Afghanistan to the tender mercies of the Taliban for Afghanistan. He abandoned the Kurds in Syria, and that base we abandoned in Syria and turned that, and the Russians just rolled right into that base in Syria while Donald Trump was president. He reduced the number of troops in Afghanistan to 2,500 when Joe Biden took office in January of 2021. And that, you know, there's part of that on Donald Trump for signing that agreement with, he invited them on 9/11, the Taliban 9/11, to Camp David to have a...
Right. I get all the past history and again, I don't want to rehash it, but you can bring up good points, Mark. But what did you call about?
Well, it's deer season is coming up, and Eric has now recognized the fact that he didn't want those poor people to have to do a recount during deer season, because where I grew up, so far northern Wisconsin, it was actually kind of another holy week as far as deer season.
Yes.
There used to be, Park Falls used to shut down their school system during deer season.
Really?
I mean, back years ago.
Wow, I did not know that.
Yes, they did. I mean, because so many kids were out deer hunting. Uh-huh. I mean, and I'll climb up my deer stand, you know, on Saturday morning and hang my little bird feeder next to me so the chickadees come and visit me all day. So I'm entertained by that. So I'm like St. Francis of Assisi up there, you know, as far as the birds flocking around me that... You know, not that I'm a saint by any stretch of the imagination, but I mean, it is just, you know, that, and Thanksgiving is that, you know, something we recognize as a nation, even though it's ironic that reading some history books that every time the Puritans, you know, had a battle and won against the natives that they're fighting against there, they had a feast of Thanksgiving, thanking God for the fact that they won a battle. And
The irony is not lost.
I'm glad Hubby finally conceded, but yes, he had to throw that dig in there about on Milwaukee and that.
Right. Well, that's what I wanted to point out. It's just not true.
That negates any kind of goodwill we should feel toward Eric Hubby, because he once again attacked the people of Milwaukee and the people of the state of Wisconsin, the electoral system in the state of Wisconsin. And if I ran into Eric Hubby today, I'd tell him that to his face.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that.
I think, Mark,
what I would say is I do appreciate the fact that he conceded and said he lost the election. I would just call him a sore loser. You know, because he could force a recount. He could just go on and never admit that he lost like Trump did in 2020. So I think he does deserve a modicum of credit for admitting that he lost and not forcing local clerks through a recall. But he's a sore loser, and that's unfortunate.
Yes, he certainly is.
Yeah.
Thanks,
all right.
God.
Thanks, Mark. Always appreciate it. 855-752-4842. Rebecca listening in Milwaukee, talking about the former caller, not Mark, but the former caller, just saying that folks that constantly bring up the Afghanistan withdrawal seem to conveniently forget Trump's own involvement in Afghanistan, as Mark so accurately pointed out. Good just to keep people on the straight and narrow. 46 minutes now past the hour. A couple other headlines for you. Kudlow. Are you... Probably not too many fans of this show that are fans of Fox. But on Friday, the Wall Street Journal reported that Trump was, quote, considering tapping Fox Business Network host Larry Kudlow for a senior economic policy role. But within hours, the story was updated to say that Kudlow doesn't want to return to government, and a Fox News rep said that he recently signed a new deal. I bet he did. Quote, he has no plans, Kudlow, to leave his current role helming one of the highest rated shows on the network. Now, that is playing stuff right there. That is. Well, I don't know. I might leave. Wait a minute. Let's up your contract to give you more money and give you a longer deal. Oh, I think I'll stay. Larry Kudlow. Never,
sounds about right.
Never one to let, an opportunity go to waste. Very interesting. Here's one that I mean, there's been a lot of talk about InfoWars, the ridiculous, over-the-top, there aren't enough bad adjectives to describe Alex Jones of the InfoWars.
Certainly not ones you can say on the radio.
Exactly. Was sold to The Onion. Used to be Madison-based satirical newspaper, back in print again and online. But reports are a judge will hear Alex Jones's challenge to the auction of his conspiracy theory platform InfoWars, which was sold to satirical news outlet The Onion last week. It is unclear when the hearing will take place. Jones's attorneys argued in front of Judge Chris Lopez that the auction process was not conducted in a fair and transparent manner. No matter who won the bidding, the judge in the case would have had to bless the sale overseen by a court-appointed trustee. But Lopez did express some skepticism about how the process unfolded. What's more, hang on to your bonnets. Elon Musk's ex is getting involved. Lawyers for the company submitted a request for notice, meaning that they want to be notified of any and all related activities to the case. On X, Ben Collins, the Onion chief executive, said that he has not heard of changes to the sale other than the claims that Jones's team made. Quote, we expected all of this. Obviously, buying the site was always going to be fun later on, but annoying right away. Unquote. Not a done deal yet. We'll see where the chips fall. Hope that the Onion and all those families get a win. Back with more after this. It's the All Ball Show to wrap it up on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to the Tallyball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 9 before the hour of 2 o'clock at the top of the hour. Little CBS or ABC radio news for you, depending upon which station you are listening to across the Civic Media Network, across the great state of Wisconsin. Little weather update for you. Little sports, whether it's sports reporter Mike Clemens still coming down off that high. Packers win on a blocked field goal. How sweet it is. As Jackie Gleason once said. Mike Clemens will update us on sports. So then it is the Maggie Dawn Show every afternoon from 2 until 4 today. This will be fantastic. Maggie sits down with Center for American Progress Action Fund's Tom Moore to talk about Donald Trump's personal selection process, recess appointments, what they are, why they're so dangerous, what can be done to push back on them, as well as ways Matt Gaetz could undermine democracy as Attorney General. All coming up today following our program on the Maggie Dawn Show. So stay tuned for that. By the way, inside sources, talking to more and more people, do not believe that Matt Gaetz will get appointed. I'm not so sure. I think it's a coin flip.
That's what I was going to say. I see it as a coin flip because, yeah, people are talking a big game, but a lot of these are the same representatives who say, wow, we got these great things done for our local infrastructure. And then community note, they voted against the bill.
Right, exactly. We play that line from Hamilton all the time, right? I mean, they all puff, they all huff. No, we're not going to do it. We're not going to do it. We're not going to support Trump's lunacy or perceived lunacy or actual lunacy. And then Trump just says, you'll be back. Wait and see. And they come back.
They do.
They come back almost every single time. So I think that Gaetz has a legitimate shot of getting confirmed.
I really, one way or the other. Hope he doesn't.
Oh, well, me too. I'm not saying I want it.
I know.
I'm just saying, you know, that people say, oh, there's no way it could happen. I'm talking about people that I've talked to on the more conservative side are saying, no, there's no way it could happen. Or it's not going to happen. He's too crazy. I don't know. Yes, he's. His stances on things, there is a guy, Matt Gaetz, who really is into retribution, amongst other things, as it turns out, allegedly, as they say. Zomers, are you a Netflix and chill guy? That phrase is kind of, people don't say that too much anymore, but are you a Netflix guy?
Well, asking if I'm a Netflix guy and if I'm a Netflix and chill guy are two very different things.
Well, pardon me.
Do you know what Netflix and chill means?
I thought it just meant to, like, watch a movie together or watch something on Netflix together and have a beverage or,
No, Netflix and chill is you say that's what you're going to do, but you're really having them over there for sex. That's
now,
what Netflix and chill means.
Get
no, 100%. That's what that means. If you're like, I have my girlfriend over for Netflix and chill, that's what that means.
This is Finn. This is why nobody wants to come to my place anymore. I say, hey, you want to come over and have Netflix and chill?
Yeah, you gotta rephrase
people,
that.
People keep saying, well, no, I don't think so. I'll take it back. And I just thought they were being rude, that they didn't like what I wanted to watch. Really?
Yeah, that's, yep.
Really?
That's the excuse, like, oh, we're just going to cuddle and watch a movie. Ha ha.
See? An old dog can learn new tricks. Wow. I did not know that.
I do have Netflix, though.
Well, what other... Hang on. My godson, Jason, we were talking this weekend. He also taught me a new word. What is it? Hang on. I can't find it now. I'll find it for you. We'll talk about it tomorrow. Oh, yeah, here it is. When I was talking about telling him that Locke, we're talking about the quarterback of Wisconsin. And I said, look, Locke's really that good. And Jason says, well, continues to prove he's booty cheeks.
Like, yep.
Booty cheeks just means you're really bad at something or terrible. It's crap.
Yep,
it's not good.
Exactly.
It's like negative.
Because just saying, like, there's another word for donkey. You could say something is to say it's bad. And so that's the same thing, but
so
different
Netflix
word.
And chill means to come on over and hook up.
Yep.
I did not know that. All right. Well, I'll see. I learned something new. That's better than the story I've got. The streaming giant Netflix alluded on Friday night's widespread technical difficulties when it announced that a record 60 million unprecedented numbers in today's media, 60 million households tuned in for the Jake Paul versus Mike Tyson fight. Did you see this, Summers?
I did.
Did you really?
Yeah, and we don't have a lot of time. I'll just say it was depressing to watch. When you watch them walk out, Mike Tyson looked terrifying, as he always does. Yeah. Round one, I was like, man, if he lands one hit, he could take him out. And then the rest of the rounds, he would just look tired and old he's 58.
Mike Tyson, older than me even, was a great fighter at one time and taking on this young kid in his 20s, Jake Paul, who at one time was like a social media guy.
Crappy YouTuber.
Right. Well, anyway, the boxing mega event dominated social media, shattered records, and even had a buffering system on the ropes, unquote, according to Netflix. Of course, more people tuning in also means more dissatisfied with the experience. Mike Florio.
It did not work at all. It was terrible.
Others noted that Netflix is relying on its own internal data, not an external source like Nielsen, to make the 60 million claim. We know about that. No matter what, the boxing match was one of the most streamed live events in history. Zomers, you were part of history.
I guess so. I mean, against Netflix's best efforts because it wasn't working. We had to try like 50 times.
Did you get to Netflix and chill?
No.
Best part of my day. Thank you to Reed Galen for being on the show, president of the union. You can find him at jointheunion.us. Mr. Zomers for doing yeoman's work and teaching an old dog new tricks. And to all of you for listening, Luke Mathers tomorrow. Stay tuned now for Maggie Dawn. Whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, do not give up. Keep banging your drum. And Netflix and chill.
The national news cycle never stops.
but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.